Going to the operational test for 501c3 organizations. I'm going to track a little bit with the slide, but wanted to give a little bit of information. So for purposes of that operational test, an organization must show that it is or that it will be operated exclusively for exempt purposes, right? Exclusively in this context means primarily, I guess said a little differently, the organization will be regarded as operated exclusively for one or more of those exempt purposes, only if it engages primarily in activities that accomplish one or more of those exempt purposes specified in the relevant section of the code that we had talked about earlier. And an organization will not be so regarded as exempt if more than an insubstantial part of its activities, right, the primary activities, is not in furtherance of that exempt purpose. And the purposes of the organization must be closely evaluated to determine whether they are exempt. And if not exempt, whether that non-exempt purpose is substantial. Again, we don't want to put the organization at risk by doing things outside of its substantially outside of its purposes, because even a single non-exempt purpose, if it's substantial, can destroy the eligibility for the exemption. And again, nobody wants to lose that. And I'm certain your donors don't want you to lose that. And so in determining whether an organization is operated to further that non-exempt purpose, decision makers need to look to the purposes furthered by the organization's activities rather than just the nature of those activities. And so several tax courts have noted some things on that, but why would we even quote a tax court right now? So I'm a skip over that. She's sitting over here like, you really gonna skip over the tax stuff? No, that's for you. No, but let's also keep in mind, just because an organization a tax exempt organization engages in trade or business, that won't necessarily result in the denial of a tax exempt status if that trade or business is in furtherance of such organization's exempt purposes. Again, we need to see whether it's in furtherance of those purposes, but if it's not in furtherance of those purposes or that there is a substantial activity not in furtherance of that purpose, there would be no, we wouldn't be entitled to that exemption. Just quickly, I guess one more note: when we're looking at distribution of earning, there is a doctrine. Here comes the lawyer talking about legal stuff again. The private inurement doctrine, which is meant to ensure that tax exempt organization insiders, that term that I mentioned earlier. So insiders would be a person in position to influence the organization's affair, that those insiders don't use their position to siphon off any of the charity or the non-exempt or the tax-exempt organization's income or assets for their personal use, right? Sometimes it happens with rental agreements. Other times it can happen with the sale of assets. They have inside knowledge about it. We just want to ensure that we're looking out for the organization and not the individual, because after all, it is the organization's tax-exempt, not that and individuals. And so insiders include founders, directors, officers, key employees, and members of their families, as well as certain entities controlled by these individuals. I'll come back to that part later when we're talking about familial relationships and business relationships somewhere down the line. But another quick point to, you know, individuals, these insiders, are benefited, then there's an issue for the organization, because again, Uncle Sam will come through and he'll tax you, right? An excise tax, which is equal to 25% of that benefit, and if not corrected, it could go up to 200%, and that could be spicy. And the organization as well. So that would, the individual insider would be taxed there, but also the organization could get an excise tax sanction in the amount of 10%, but not to exceed 20 20,000 imposed against decision makers of the organization. I think for time's sake, we can just skip over this real quick. Again, I think it's pretty self-explanatory because we're going to come back to talk a little bit more about filing the 1023. You can have a group exemption application. I see that a lot in my practice with the religious organizations, right? You'll have the religious association, and then falling under that would be their churches, their synagogues, their mosque, or whatnot. And they could fall under that group exemption. And but then again, that last point, churches are not required to file an exemption. But I think when we're looking at what's the end, what is the end game for a lot of organizations is to be able to satisfy that donor. And I think having paper in hand that says that I have a determination letter from the IRS will give donors an ease of mind, knowing that their charitable contributions, while charitable, will still be deductible at the end of the year. And so, is this...